It's always challenging, Dion.
Right.
Always. What a great CD. I love it.
Did they send you one?
Yeah.
Or a mock-up of it?
No, they sent me an actual copy of the set with the book. It's beautiful.
Cool.
It's really nice. I assume you've seen it.
Yeah, I just got it, and I was like, I thought, man, that's kind of, I should say the best album that someone's ever released, you know, because there's so much, what do you call it, pastiche, or, you know, like, just stuff that comes out, it's all over the place, it's just, you know, tied uh-huh. together on a shoestring, you know?
Yeah.
It just kind of, like, looks kind of neat, like it has, you know, the thread running through it that just makes sense, and, you know, I'm proud of it, I feel good about it, because, you know, it's like a career piece.
Exactly, as I was going to say, this is a monument to you.
So, you know, I come from the 50s. People don't put albums out like that look like that for us guys. You know?
We're talking with Dion DiMucci, and, of course, a man who started on the Bronx and became a legend in rock and roll officially. He's in the Hall of Fame, and Lou Reed, when he inducted Dion into the Hall of Fame, said, there was Dion, that great opening to I Wonder Why engraved in my skull forever. Dion, whose voice was unlike any other I had ever heard before. Dion could do all the turns, stretching those syllables so effortlessly, soaring so high he could reach the sky and dance there among the stars forever. What a nice, some nice words, huh?
makes you feel good. People say things like that about you. It's kind
well,
of
well, you know, I can remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember all the things that went on when I was a kid, and I remember hearing the songs that you did. I guess the question, that the first one I wanted to ask you, based on the stuff you did when you first started with the Belmonts, and by the way, folks, the Belmonts were named after Belmont Avenue.
Yeah.
In the Bronx.
Absolutely.
You had a couple huge hits with them. And then a couple of years later, you left and went on your own, where, of course, you soared. Why did you leave the group? I already know why, but tell
me. It was kind of a mutual thing. You know, I don't know how mutual it was, but we did an album with, I think there was like I Wonder Why on it and Teenager in Love, and there was a song called Where or When, which was kind of a song that was written in the 40s, and it was a beautiful kind of standard that they called it at that time, you know, mm-hmm. Broadway show tune. And it was the favorite song of one of the guys who owned the record company, and I liked him a lot, and I thought, let's do this for him. It was a little out of my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend, a cop actually, who played jazz guitar, and he gave me the harmonies that I didn't know, a couple of things, chords that I wasn't too familiar with, like augmented chords and, you know, minor sevenths. And so we kind of like worked on this tune, and it really came out well, big hit. And after that, the record company and the group started wanting to sing all these smooth harmonies, you know, like the Letterman or the...
like the Four Lads, that kind of stuff.
Four Lads, yeah, and all that. And I just, you know, I was too into guitars and country music and rhythm and blues and stuff like that. And I said, you know, later. And we kind of split, and that's when I got a group from Brooklyn called the Del Santins and recorded records like Run Around Sue and the Wanderer. In fact, I had more hits with the Del Santins, this group. They didn't get credited, but, you know, than I had with the Belmonts.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Belmonts were just individually great. I mean, it humbles me just to think of the kind of talent that, you know, we were together. It was unbelievable.
Are any of them still around? And if they
yeah,
are,
they all are. Angelo, who has a great operatic voice, and Carlo, who's a great jazz drummer and, to me, a great vocalist. Could scat with the best of them, you know.
Yeah, they had a few hits on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, some doo-wop stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned, and I had to point it out, because you are from the Bronx, but you mentioned just now one of the influences you had was country music.
Big time. Yeah, when I was a kid, like pre-teens, I fell in love with Hank Williams. I started collecting his records, and I knew about 65 Hank Williams songs by the time I was maybe 15. Sang in the local joints in the Bronx. You know, the guys loved me. They used to hide me in the kitchen, you know, and you know, when the cops made their rounds, I'd hide in the kitchen, and they'd leave, and I'd get up on stage and sing, you know, maybe Honky Tonk Blues or Your Cheating Heart or Cold Cold Heart, you know, and they'd call me the Bronx Hick or something, you know.
Well, it's interesting that in your career, you know, you didn't just do rock. You've gone into all these different areas like blues and folk and gospel and pretty much all the genres of music.
Well, you know, to us who, you know, country music and rhythm and blues, I mean, that's what we call rock and roll. You know, and blues and all that mix. That's what rock and roll is.
It's the roots of American music.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it was, you know, being at the beginning of it when there was no rock and roll. I mean, I sound old saying that, but you know, rock and roll was like kind of on the dawn of creation, so to speak. It, you know, with there were no role models. We didn't have any monitors, any light shows. It was like turn the lights on, turn the sound system on, and we just went at it. In fact, Buddy Holly, myself, and Richie Valens had the first Fender guitars that came out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a kind of a contest to see who would make them ring the longest. So it was kind of new, and it was exciting because we didn't have any role models. We didn't, you know. It was bad in one sense, is that in the business sense, you know, a lot of people, a lot of guys were exploited, you know, and...
Mm-hmm.
Taken advantage of, because we knew nothing about what publishing was or the business end of it at all. So kind of paved the way for a lot of guys, you know.
Right. That's interesting the way things have changed anyway. I mean, even with the internet, there's another whole area that no one's ever considered when they're doing contracts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's interesting to see the metamorphosis of music. You know, when I talk to my kids and show them my records, they say, oh, Daddy, those are big CDs. They don't know what they are. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Never mind 78s, which, you know, are really history.
Right.
You know,
right.
Record players are kind of gone now. There's no, I tell people I'm going to a record store, they're like, what?
Yeah.
What? I'm talking with Dion DiMucci, who has been through it all. The songs that you do and have done are legendary, of course, and we've heard them thousands of times, and they continue to be played on oldies radio, which is now big as well. Songs like Run Around Sue. Now, I understand, I didn't know this, but you were actually married to a woman named Sue for, was it like 37 years now?
Yep. Yeah,
Now, she was not.
actually,
She wasn't the inspiration for the song, though, was she?
no, she wasn't. Some people write that, but actually, she'd love, you know, I think she'd love to be. It sounds good for the image, I guess. But no, it was written about a girl that, and I used to like write these songs about characters in the Bronx that seem bigger than life to me. And this girl had quite a reputation, but her name wasn't Sue. You know, it was like Roberta or something. You know, and
Didn't work
he
with the
couldn't
song.
like it. Didn't work. You
Yeah.
know. You know. Didn't fall right. You
But
know.
you were going out with this Sue at that time, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so but did she get offended by the song?
And I don't remember. It was I don't know. There was just it was a song, you know. It was like no, she didn't get offended by The Wanderer either, you know. But because you know, it's funny with songs. You could, you know, you could write a book with all these fictitious characters, and people don't think you're them.
Right,
You know,
that's
they don't think like Stephen King is you know,
a maniac
that
killer.
kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But you write a song, and you know, and to some degree, there's a part of yourself in the songs, you know. But no.
Well, I think it's interesting that you say that because obviously there is a part of you in the songs, but also people listen and hear different things, of course. What you wrote and what someone hears may be completely different. For instance, The Wanderer, many people think that when they first hear that, what a cool song that is. It's a happy song. This guy is really cool. And actually, what that's about is really going nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad song, you
Yeah.
know. It's
But it's got an upbeat
you
tempo,
know,
though, I
Bruce
think.
Springsteen said once, if guys could grab onto that couplet, with my, you know, with my two fists of iron, but I'm going nowhere. He said if they could really get that, they wouldn't have to go to those Robert Bly seminars out in, you know, what was it, Iron John? You know, where guys go out to Arizona and beat on trees and discover their manhood and all.
Well, at the time, now, I know you conquered a massive drug and alcohol problem and all that kind of stuff. Was that going on during like that song? Were you one of the people going nowhere at the time?
I would say absolutely. You know, especially when you get hooked up with drugs and alcohol to the extent that I did, you know, it absolutely goes nowhere. You end up blaming everybody for your problems, you know.
Well, it's amazing that you could have the same relationship continue all those years through all that. She must be an extraordinary woman.
She is. You know, she had a high tolerance for unacceptable behavior, so to speak. I know that may sound funny or sad or whatever, but to me, thank God she did, you know, and that she didn't reach her tolerance point before it, you know, I turned around, you know. But thanks be to God, you know, one night I said a prayer, and this might sound, you know, wild, but I said a prayer. It's been 33 years I've been clean and sober. I haven't had a drink or a drug, and you know, I'm glad because I just let go of something that I really didn't need. You know, it just my life turned around, and I just feel very blessed today.
Well, you were blessed in many ways. One of the ways was on February 3rd, 1959, when the tour you were part of, the Winter Dance Party tour, which had Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens and Big Bopper and Dion of the Belmonts headlining the tour. I understand you were scheduled to be on the plane but didn't want to spend the money.
True, true. You know, it was $36 to get on that flight, you know. Buddy and Holly and Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper and I, we were co-headlining this tour, and Buddy, out of, I don't know, he was a very decisive guy, a little older than myself. I was 19, he was 22. And he decided to charter a plane and recruit people, and you know, we all split the total, and it came out to $36, and it was the exact amount that my parents were paying in Bronx, New York City for rent. And my parents always struggled with the rent and argued about it, where they were going to come up with it, you know. And that's all I remember, you know, this, and that just triggered a lot, you know. I couldn't spend $36 on a 45-minute flight. It just didn't make sense to me, so I just bowed out. And the next morning, when the bus arrived in Fargo, North Dakota, and Waylon Jennings and I became very close on that tour because he was playing bass for he was one of the Crickets at the time, you know, out there because. And we arrived and walked into the hotel, and that TV was fastened to the wall, and we heard that this plane crash, killing all aboard, three rock and rollers and the pilot. It was like surreal. I mean, it was really hard to digest it or even, just understand it. It was like I was in shock for the remaining of the tour, and then like maybe 2 weeks after it.
You guys went on with the tour, right?
Yeah, we did.
You still played on.
Yeah, Waylon and I really got bonded forever in that thing. We were just, at a young age like that, you get to ask a lot of questions, like of yourself, like who am I, why am I here, where am I going, what's life about, all these, because at 1 minute you're on top of the world, rocking out with your friends and enjoying yourself, and on the bus, these acoustical guitars. I mean, for 2 weeks we were just having a ball. And, musically,
yeah.
It was a little challenging with the weather
and
the touring, but musically, it was, I wish some of those sessions on the bus were recorded. But, by the grace of God, I'm here today to,
At the time, of course, those guys were your friends, and Don McLean has said that was the day the music died. Do you agree that with that plane not only took three great people, but an incredible amount of music that we never got to hear?
Well, they left us so much, in their short lives, too. Richie had so much passion. They left us so much in the short time they were here. I felt blessed to know them. I don't know. The rest of it, I'm not able to, really project on it and think of what they might have done. I'm sure they'd be in music, and I'm sure I'd be close with them, because they kind of felt like there was an infinity between us, kindred spirits,
We're talking with Dion DiMucci. His great 3-CD set is called Dion, King of the New York Streets. It's from EMI and The Right Stuff, a great gift for the Christmas holidays for yourself or a friend. In that set is a booklet, and in the booklet is the actual poster from the Winter Dance Party with Buddy Holly and Richie Valens, Big Bopper, and Dion the Belmonts. Also, a copy of the receipt that J.P. Richardson got for his $36. It tingles the spine.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, life, that's why I'm a grateful man these days. That's why I guess I feel very blessed in a lot of ways, but very grateful for what, I don't know, all that's been given.
Well, one of the things that, you've conquered all these different things and have done quite well. You had all these things going against you, and you overcome them, and that's pretty much the bottom line of success in this world. Doing things you want to do.
Well, it's not what happens to you. It's how you kind of process it. And I've always, that's why you interviewed me a little while ago with a book I wrote called Chapters, Writing the Adventure of Your Life.
Right.
And someone was telling me one time, you got an interesting life. I said, everybody has an interesting life. So to prove it, I wrote this book, it's a book of questions. And I think people get stuck and they don't move forward because, they don't know the right questions to ask themselves, And you could just get kind of stuck, I guess some people, people that just kind of get stuck and it's hard to move out of where they're at, It's hard to move forward and upward.
Right.
So I think, I think life is, I love life. And I if you ask yourself the right questions, you find these solutions. There's a joy in that, There's kind of like a, in fact, I'm hooked on it, finding the solution, And or growing, just growing.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to, I might have made some mistakes in the early days with, guys came up to me and they said, hey, you don't want your song stolen, do you? We better copyright this thing. We better register. I said, oh, by all means do.
Mm-hmm.
And they copyrighted it. You think they copyrighted it in my name?
Nope.
They copyrighted it in their name.
Mm-hmm.
But, you can make a big bit of scene out of that and get very, just move forward, learn something, and you get it right the next time,
I think that New York Times had a great headline when they did a story on you very recently this past week. It said, "At 61, a wanderer has found home." Do you think you did? You think you found home?
I think so, but I'm not. I haven't stopped learning, but I think that's the journey for us all, to journey home, you know, into you know, a higher reality, not only making money or having a home and the car and, you know, just this horizontal look at life. You know, there's also this vertical kind of look, and you got to keep God in the mix. You know, he's like the create. We have a creative God. You know, look at what he's given us. You know, I figure he made my eyes to see, and he sees me, and he made my ears to hear, and he hears me, and to keep you know, conscious of his presence, and why we're here and where we're going, and so I kind of feel taken care of yesterday, today, tomorrow, and in the hereafter, you know. And I feel at home in that sense, but I have a lot of growing to do. You know, am I there? Have I arrived? Do I know it all? Am I better than anybody? Absolutely not. You know, I am just the guy from the Bronx, learning, and I have a lot of learning to do.
I find it interesting to look at your career from around 1958 to 1963, where you had all those hits. Then the Beatles came in and kind of disrupted music in America. And then you came back in 68 with the top Abraham Martin and John. Since then, you put out a lot of good records, but you just haven't had that kind of success. But you've always been you. You've always stuck to your own, whatever you wanted to do, without kind of listening to what a record company would say to you, and do this, do that, you'll have a hit. You kind of went in your own direction.
Well, you know, I've had my share of hits, really. I mean, when you think about, when I look at it and see all the top 10 hits I had and the success I've had in making an impact with music, you know, do I, you know, would have been nice to have other hits along the way, you know, every decade, but it wasn't like that. But I always, you know, wrote and sang music that really was close to my heart, or I really. Some, you know, I, 'cause music is a communications tool. You know, at its best, you could communicate your thoughts and your perceptions and your express your heart. You know, of you know, your friends and what you're feeling, and you know, relationships and all kinds of stuff. You know, and it's such a wonderful business. It's such a wonderful gift, music. I'm grateful that I could appreciate, you know, other people's music. It keeps me young. You know. But it's been almost like a diary to me. If I look at this, like especially this anthology package that they put out, this King of the New York Streets that you're talking about, it, like when I look at it, it's kind of like a career piece. And you know, when you jump, when just looking at the song titles, it's almost like a diary. I could see the journey. I could see the you know, the most bleakest, darkest emotional period in my life. I could see the heights of joy, the learning experiences, the what was happening in the country, you know. It's wild, you know.
It's a great CD set, and again, for folks listening at pmpnetwork.com, we'll have a link to Dion's own website, as well as a link to getting to purchase that CD online if you'd like to get it as a holiday gift for somebody. Great, it's a great gift for somebody who loves music, and this stuff is just incredible. I love it. And there's nothing like the quality of the CD sound, you know?
By the way, I did put up a website. It's
Yeah.
called Dion DiMucci, though.
Yes, it is. And we have it, we're
Oh,
going to link it to our site.
I didn't. I just. Okay.
We found it on the search
This
engine.
is new to me.
Yeah. Well, see, we went to Dion.com, and that is actually a company that markets something. It has nothing to do with you at all.
Right.
But we looked at DionDiMucci.com, and there you were. That's your official website. So we're going to
Yes.
actually put a little link at pnpnetwork.com to your site so people can come visit you.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
And it's great to talk to you again.
Hey, Mark, you have a great day. Thanks for, you know, thinking of me, and it was great talking.
All right. Take care of yourself.
God bless.
All right. You too.
Stay well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.